The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus told his disciples a parable. Can a blind person guide a blind person? Will not both fall into a pit? No disciple is superior to the teacher, but when fully trained, every disciple will be like his teacher. Why do you notice the splinter in your brother's eye, but do not perceive the wooden beam in your own? How can you say to your brother, "Brother, let me remove that splinter in your eye," when you do not even notice the wooden beam in your own? You hypocrite, remove the wooden beam from your eye first. Then you will see clearly to remove the splinter in your brother's eye. A good tree does not bear rotten fruit, nor does a rotten tree bear good fruit. Every tree is known by its fruit. For people who do not pick figs from thorn bushes, nor do they gather grapes from brambles. A good person out of the store of goodness in his heart produces good. An evil person out of the store of evil produces evil. For from the fullness of heart, the mouth speaks. The gospel of the Lord.
The images that Jesus uses in this gospel, I always find funny. When you think about what he's describing here, first he's describing blind people leading blind people. So use your imagination for a minute. Blind people leading blind people around and falling into pits because it's insanity what's happening. Or the image of large planks of wood in people's eyes, and them just walking around, not even noticing it. It's funny when you think about it, and it's also disturbing. So what Jesus is saying is that the blind people leading the blind are doing it, not even noticing the problem. And brothers are judging their brothers with these large wooden planks in their eye, not even noticing the problem. Not aware of the hypocrisy involved. Not aware of the danger of what they're not able to see. For about 5.5 years, I was a part of seminary formation. So I helped seminarians to prepare and get ready to be ordained priests. Our own seminarians here in the Archdiocese, I would go visit them in the seminary, and I would sit with them and talk to them and help them to get ready to be a priest. And my job as director of seminarians was to make sure that they were doing what they're supposed to do in the seminary so they could prepare well. And at every level of seminary formation, guys will be dealing with things like we hear about in this gospel. If you didn't know, seminarians aren't always the most humble and perfect guys. Sometimes they struggle. One of the interesting things that a guy can deal with when he gets into the seminary is he can go in with all this zeal and love for God and this desire to want to discern their vocation and see if God wants them to be a priest. And they go in and immediately they think that they know everything. I know what I'm supposed to learn and I know what I'm supposed to study, and I know what I'm supposed to pray, and I know it all. And so my job was to come in and gently say to them, you don't know it all. So I had to point out the wooden beams in their eyes and point out the areas where they were not able to see what needed to be perfected, what needed to be brought to the Lord. This process is actually something that's for every single one of us. And we've all approached it, or we've all faced it in some way in our life, where we thought, well, I've got this figured out. I know what's going on. And then trouble comes, and we realize, especially in the spiritual life, we don't know anything. And once again, we're called to trust God. We're called to rely on God. That image that we hear in the readings today of the sieve, sifting through, or the image of a furnace or a kiln, and we're firing the clay pots. Those are images that are brought to us. They're important. The idea is that it's God who is sifting. It's God who's in control. And as he sifts, he separates the things of our life that we need to be able to grow in holiness. And then he gets rid of the filth, the sin. This is the same with the fire. Like, when the Lord is firing up that furnace, he's firing it up to purify and perfect us in our ability to respond to God's will. But here's what we do, and this is human. We look at God sifting with that sieve, and we say, give me that sieve. I can do it on my own. And we start sifting through, and some things go well. We start looking at the great things, but then we lose sight of the filth. We don't pay attention to the sin anymore. In fact, we become so blind, we think, I don't have sin. How many of you have said that? I don't need to go to confession. I don't sin. I don't have any sin. Okay, well, then here's what happens with the kiln. This is fun too. If you know anything about firing clay and making pots, if you don't dry that clay properly and if you don't control that heat properly, what can happen? That clay can explode, can crack and explode, right? It can really be a bad deal. So if you push God out of the way and you say, I can do it. I can fire that kiln on my own. I can control the furnace. What ends up happening is we end up destroying that life with God that we want. We're not in control of this. The Lord is saying to us so clearly that the disciple of Jesus has to remove the blinders, has to let go so that God can be everything in our life. We don't have room anymore for blind disciples in the church. We need disciples who are interiorly connected always to the Lord, so that when we go out into the world to make disciples, we're bringing Christ with us. And not just ourselves. It's such an important lesson. Because a lot of times we will step out into judgment of the world and things around us long before we look at what's happening in our own life and how we're living this Christian life that God has given. An idea of how to maybe turn some of that, if you find that that's a problem in your life. And all of us do. All of us struggle with sin in some way. One beautiful tradition in our Catholic faith that I would encourage, especially as Lent begins, is a daily examine, a daily examination of your conscience, a daily examination of what you're doing in your life to love and serve God and the church and the world. In your daily prayer, whatever you do, make part of it an examination of how you've lived that day for God. Have you been able to take a step back and say, okay, this is what I need to change. This is what I need to perfect. This is what I need to bring to God so that I can then turn to my brothers and sisters in Christ and lead them to that same kind of mercy, that same love. That daily examination could be a beautiful way to reconnect with God and grow in relationship with Him. And those kinds of things don't take a long time. In fact, it's a beautiful way to end the day, an examination of our conscience. Here's where I've failed. Here's where I've not loved well. Here's where I need forgiveness, God. And we lift that to the Lord, and then you go to bed in peace. Here's a challenge for Lent. We start Lent Wednesday, by the way. If you didn't know. It sneaks up. A challenge for Lent for you to think about. Not just giving up something for Lent, but in that giving up or in that extra prayer or whatever you decide to do for Lent, also ask at the same time for a greater understanding of why you need to do that. Why do I need to give this up? Why do I need to have this penance? Why do I need to be praying more? Ask for a deeper understanding of our sins and challenges that we have in our life, so that we're not just stumbling through the 40 days of Lent, but that it's a real journey. So that at the end of it, we see grace and fruit and the love of God calling us into holiness, calling us into a deeper and greater love. Ask for the healing and grace you need to remove those planks, to take off the blinders, and to be the disciples that God is calling you to be.